The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Welcome to this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I got something really exciting for you in the coming series of weeks for EPP bonus episodes. This is something I've been wanting to do for quite some time. Our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, is not yet an audiobook. And I've always said our EPPs are going to get a chance to hear it first and get access to the book first. So, here's how that's going to work. Over the next several weeks, the EPP bonus episodes are going to be the audiobook of Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, released to you months before it is released to the public. We'll break it into pieces. So each EPP bonus episode is a chunk of the book, picking up where the last chunk left off. So there you go. You get the whole thing. I'm really excited to revisit some of these stories. Some of these stories we had touched on the air years ago. They have been I wouldn't say rewritten, but they have been edited for readability. So they are clearer, more concise, and much smoother than they ever were before, if that makes sense. So we had a professional editor go through to make sure that it was as smooth as possible for a book. So here we go. Next couple of weeks, you get the Real Ghost Stories Online audiobook. We're going to pick up at chapter 2, where we go into the ghost stories. I'm skipping over the personal part of it, where it's me talking about me and Jenny talking about Jenny. You guys already know most of that. We will put that portion in the actual audiobook when that is released. But I want to jump right to the ghost stories because that's the good stuff. So EPP format for the next handful of weeks going to feel a little bit different because it is the audiobook. Okay. In pieces, digestible chunks for you every single week as we get closer and closer to the Halloween season. I hope you guys enjoy. These are some of our best ghost stories we've ever heard. Let's dive in. Chapter 2, Haunted Houses. Chances are that when you think ghost stories, an image of a rickety old abandoned house comes to mind. While these can be the setting for a number of troubling haunting accounts, they're not always the key ingredient. In fact, it seems that homes of any age can come down with a haunting. In some cases, there doesn't appear to be any definable trait that makes a home likely to be haunted, other than the fact that the home exists. This leads us down the road of exploring the land a home sits on, the people that pass through it, the objects in it, and the history of what once stood in its place. Once we examine all of these elements, there is usually a clue or two that may lead us to diagnose where the haunting originates from. It's not the question of whether the house is haunted that is most difficult to answer, rather the question of how to get rid of the haunting that poses the most problems. Living with the dead. In our opinion, one of the most common misconceptions about ghosts is that they are very one-dimensional in their thinking and actions. Often people tend to categorize a spirit as simply good or bad. We too are guilty of this at times. However, just as living and breathing souls aren't always good or bad 100% of the time, we believe that ghosts aren't either. The reality can lead to confusion, as the actions of a ghost may be viewed as helpful one day and troubling or aggressive the next. People will often assume there's more than one spirit involved when different phenomena are taking place, but it could all be from the same ghost. As you'll discover in our next story, a protective ghost may be to blame for the unexplained activity. These spirits may be acting not just to protect the property they once inhabited, but to protect well-being of those who live there today. The following is a letter sent to us from Charlie L. about his relationship-saving experience with the undead. Charlie writes, "I'm a professional land surveyor in Michigan. I received my education from a university located in a small town in the same state. In the fall of 2000, I moved into my first off-campus residence with a group of new friends from my previous year in the dorm. We had rented an old farmhouse that sits adjacent to the university. All evidence of the farm was long since lost, having been engulfed by mixed residential and commercial properties. Even so, the farmhouse was clearly older than all the surrounding structures were. It had features that showed its age. Most notably, the large cistern in the basement that used to collect rainwater for the household and the single bathroom on the main level. The bathroom appeared to be an afterthought to the home, as the home was probably originally serviced with an outhouse. The farmhouse also had what is locally known as a Michigan basement, a basement made of large rocks mortared together. They have low ceilings and are always damp and dark. The home was long from front to back. There were plank hardwood floors throughout, but they had been covered with commercial-grade carpeting everywhere except for the long hallway connecting the living room and kitchen. The house had old windows with glass full of wavy imperfections from a bygone manufacturing process. There were three bedrooms upstairs and a single bedroom on the main level adjacent to the living room. Let's be clear about one thing. This home was a dump. The landlord had neglected it for years and rented it out to college students at ridiculously high rates. My roommates did not exactly help matters. It did not take long for them to start doing damage to the home. They opened holes in the walls, played hockey with full cans of tuna, and removed now obsolete cast iron steam registers for their scrap metal, causing a good amount of damage to floors and the roof. Yes, the roof. That is a whole other story. Anyway, we'd been in the home for about a month when odd things started happening. The first thing we noticed were the doors slamming shut during the night. These were old farmhouse doors, and they were hung to protect the old hardwood floors. Since carpet was on the floor, it took a grown man yanking with two hands to close these doors. They were intended to stay open, as they only separated interior common spaces. We'd all be in bed, and you'd hear them slam closed. We would all confer in the morning to check that no one had been playing tricks on each other. Plus, we had all tried to slam these doors and no one could replicate it. Then, the nighttime noises started. Lots of knocking sounds and noises that sounded like people walking on the creaky old wood floors. We all laughed about it and started to like the idea that there may be a ghost in the house. Soon, the ghost became a favorite excuse for house issues. We joked that the ghost ate the last box of macaroni and cheese dinner, or it was supposed to be the ghost's turn to do dishes. Simple things to ease the underlying anxiety of having a spirit reside with you. Then my out-of-town girlfriend started visiting. This was when the ghost took a different attitude. Her first night in the house, she got up to use the bathroom, which was downstairs from my bedroom. When she walked into the hall, she saw a woman round the corner and head down the stairs. She ran back into my room and woke me up. My response was to go downstairs and investigate. I found nothing out of place or any people that shouldn't be there. However, she was convinced that she had seen a woman. She was so terrified that she refused to go downstairs by herself to use the bathroom for the next 2 years. I always had to escort her. Things continued as they were for 2 years that we lived in the house. We always laughed it away and thought the idea of a ghost was fun. One day towards the end of our lease, I was alone in the house with a female friend of mine who was not my girlfriend. It was late afternoon and massive thunderstorms were moving through the area. We sat in the living room watching TV on the couch. Just when things could have taken a turn towards romantic, there were three slow, solid bangs on the bedroom door behind me. I leapt off the couch and towards the locked bedroom door, which was a mere two steps behind me. Again, there were two solid thuds on the door. I was able to put my hand on the door and feel the vibration for the second thud. My lady friend was scared and standing on the opposite side of the living room. Being logical, I wanted an explanation for this. Having a ghost as a joke is one thing, but this was real. I was witnessing it. I cannot brush it off as just a mysterious noise in the dead of night. I ran outside into the thunderstorm to inspect the bedroom windows. I figured that the storm must have broken one of the windows and the wind was causing the door to thud from the inside out. Once I made it out the door to investigate, I stood there in the rain, dumbfounded. Everything was intact. I walked back indoors without an explanation. I drove my friend back to her dorm and returned to my house. When my roommate returned that Sunday night, I made sure I was present when he unlocked his door. Sure enough, everything was normal. There was absolutely nothing out of place, and I could find no logical reason for the noise. All these years later, I have to wonder if the ghost was doing me a favor. I was still dating my long-distance girlfriend at the time and had always been loyal to her. If I had caved to my friend's advance, I would have ruined our loyalty. I've now been with that girlfriend for 17 years and have been married to her for 11. I'm so glad that I did not tarnish our relationship that day. So I guess I owe that ghost a solid. Demon Hands. An unexpected in-home encounter with wildlife can sometimes arouse suspicion of ghosts. Ghosts can also be dismissed in the same way. It's much easier to accept that there's a pack of raccoons clawing away in the attic than the spirit of the former tenant or a lost child still begging to be let out. In more cases than not, the paranormal activity is explained away without investigation and is blamed on animals. Some, however, take the step of investigating the sounds that they hear. They take the time to narrow down the possibilities, not with the intent of debunking the supernatural. Rather, I just want to get firm answers. This is always the best plan of attack when an unknown noise is plaguing the residents of the home. It's better to know the cause of the sounds than to blindly speculate on what may be going on, even if the conclusion ends with a suspicion of ghosts. The next story is one of a classic haunted house. Individuals are plagued by unexplained sounds and suspect wildlife, only to discover something very different. Jesse shares the story. This specific story affected my life, my relationships, and my work. I had met a young woman who I started dating. She lived 30 minutes outside of Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I resided. I wanted to move closer to her, so I uprooted myself and moved to Huntington, Indiana. When I first moved there, I was jobless and homeless, so my girlfriend's mother offered me a place to stay, at least until I found a job in my own place. I stayed there a few months and finally found a job, saved up some money, and started looking for a place. I found a two-bedroom duplex and took the second floor. When I moved in, it wasn't in that great of a shape, but it was a cheap rental. This was the beginning of a six-month-long living hell. My friends dubbed the duplex the House on Hill Road. I'd been living there for 2 weeks when I finally settled in and decided to throw a housewarming party. I invited a bunch of friends, including my brother Stephen and my friend Chase. The party had kicked off with lots of drinking, beer pong, King's Cup, and joking, and everyone appeared to be having a good time. I worked a 10-hour shift that day and decided to turn in early. About an hour later, my girlfriend crawled into bed with me. 10 minutes later, I got a knock on my bedroom door. Slightly buzzed and in the middle of intimacy, I was, of course, a little pissed off. So I yelled, "What? I'm busy!" It was my brother. Apparently, he and my friend Chase decided to rummage through my attic. He'd been cut on the top of his foot. I opened the door and sure enough, he's bleeding on my damn carpet. "How in the fuck?" I said. He responded, "Bro, I don't know. I didn't even feel it until we came down." I told him to clean that scrape up. "You better not stain my carpet or we're fighting." This is where it gets interesting. The next morning, I got up to discover that many of the partygoers from the night before were passed out everywhere. My brother was up playing Xbox, so I asked him to come up to the attic with me so we could have a look around. The attic is old. It's got the pull-down stairs. I'm 240 pounds, mind you. I wasn't as scared of the attic as I was of that rickety-ass ladder. We got up there and searched around the attic, and it was empty. There was nothing he could have cut himself on, but there was a milk crate over in the corner with papers on it. I went over, took the papers, and went downstairs. I looked through them. Some were unimportant. Two, however, stood out. One was a hand sewing of a church design. The second was page 2 of a letter about reasons why this church was to be built. Nothing too strange was in this letter, so I just put them to the side and went on with my hangover. I had two pit bulls at the time named Mia and Dozer. Shortly after I discovered the papers, they decided to rip them apart. That's when shit hit the fan. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of this EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online Special Edition, where we dig into the audiobook of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters, Told by Real People. To hear the rest of Chapter 2, and as we dig into Chapter 3, become an extra podcast person to get full access to this, and of course, all of our EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, and you're helping to keep this show on the air. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.